I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Hi, I'm Paul Mitzi.
I'm Lucy Thomas.
I'm Brendan Levi.
And we are the Swapcast. And we are the Swapcast podcast. Every episode, we watch an entry in the body swap movie genre and break it down for you. Except today, because it's time for another tenuous swap episode. So on our main show, each of us always recommend a piece of media that is tenuously linked with the film we review on that episode. So now we have forced one of our co-hosts to watch one of our recommendations. So today we will be looking at the 2020 reboot of Saved by the Bell, the indie comedy Band-Aid, and the Cameron Crowe romantic comedy Singles. As always, we love to hear from our listeners, so slide into our DMs on Insta, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com, or chuck us a review on iTunes so we can get to 100 reviews and do an episode on Face Off already.
Lucy, I think you need to like go back into the studio and do like an explainer song for this segment, just so Paul doesn't have to say that every time.
I think that's a great idea. I'd love to do that.
Awesome.
I love singing. This really is going to lead into my talking about the film I had to watch. Can't wait.
Well, you'll have to wait because first up the rank is Brendan. He was given the 2020 reboot of Saved by the Bell by me.
You can just always tell, like, Paul, like, put it first in the description of the episode. He's like, you know, and you're going first. He's so excited. Are you ready to shatter his dreams?
Lucy, have you watched this? Like,
yeah, I have.
Oh, okay. Because my assumption was Paul forced me to because nobody's watched this and he wants someone to talk to him about it.
He's trying to do popular? That to me. He's trying to do that to me with High School Musical. I haven't got there yet, but I did watch this.
All right. So Brendan was given the 2020 reboot of Saved by the Bell by me in our freaky episode.
So
the guy that plays Zach Morris is the guy at the start of Freaky that gets the champagne bottle shoved in his mouth.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So in this follow-up series to the 1990s sitcom, a group of California low-income high school students are transferred to the Pacific Palisades' wealthy Bayside High following a program by California Governor Zach Morris. I recommended this to Brendan because I really enjoyed it and I thought it was a lot better than what you'd expect a Saved by the Bell reboot to be. And I know that he just didn't want to give it any kind of chance because it was a Saved by the Bell reboot. So
very fair, this
was
yes.
So this is my way of forcing him to watch it in the hopes that he would be like, you know what? I wouldn't have given this a chance, but I actually loved it.
Is this maybe the reason for the podcast? This is like an elaborate ruse to be like, I have Brendan in a position where I can make him watch literally anything I want him to.
Yeah.
Yes, 4 years was leading up to this moment.
That's why you instead of giving everyone like good movie suggestions to watch, you're like stacking the books with like Zombies 2 and stuff.
So, what did you think, Brendan?
Of what?
Saved by the Bell.
Building the tension. I enjoy some of it. That's how I'll put it. There's some really like funny gags, some really fun characters, and then there's also like this real like bummer side to it where it's like it's very cheesy. The sort of like I guess moral or underlying themes are very like not underlying. They're very on the nose and it's a bit like, yeah, I get it. Like, anyway. So, yes, I had some mixed feelings about it.
Okay, so overall positive?
50-50. I hate to say it, but I think I enjoyed it enough. I may continue watching it if there's nothing else to watch.
Oh, wow. Well, I know, like, I've been over your house and I know that you and your wife love 30 Rock and you just continuously rewatch that show over and
That's
over again.
That's all about, yeah.
And this is from Tracy Wigfield, who was a showrunner on 30 Rock, and she was a showrunner on Great News, the follow-up, which I know you guys enjoyed as well. So did you see that kind of DNA in the show, and did you also think this was something that Katrina would enjoy as well? Did you try to show it to her?
She watched it with me. I feel like I'm being more generous than she would about the show. She really, something about it didn't grate with her, and she was just like, I'm leaving. But I can see what you're talking about, and I think the Bellevue Heights, is that what it's called? Is that the name of the school?
Like the rich school, Bayside High.
Bayside High, yeah. Bellevue Heights.
Yeah. Bellevue Heights is like an actual suburb where we live.
Is it a wealthy suburb?
Not really, sounds... no. It's near my old high school.
Look, like that side of things, I feel like there's actually like I loved hanging out with those characters. They're like two-dimensional, they're dumb, and there's a lot of good jokes going around, and it was a lot more, I don't know, it was a better laugh. Like, what's the principal's name?
Yeah, John Michael Higgins is the actor, and he's playing Principal Todman.
Like, obviously, having him in anything, I feel like, for some reason, I just am into it. Like,
yeah, I think he's hilarious. Like, best in show, to Great News, like, and everything he's in between. Like, I think he's always a high point of whatever he's in.
Sure, yeah. And so having him as the principal, there's some great gags there. But then, like, what's the main character? What's her name? I can't remember.
Let me see. Daisy.
Daisy. Like, yeah, just always complaining and like, being, like, annoyed, and then I'm like, I just want to hang out and have dumb laughs with the bell.
So what you're saying is you're deliberately choosing not to care about societal issues and that you're not a woke person.
I know what the show's about. I know my take.
You're like, so I liked hanging out with the dumb people. It was funny.
The dumb rich people, yeah.
Look, I'm totally with you, Brendan. Like, I really love the show, but the highlight is the dumb Bayside kids. They are the highlight because it's just fun to be around them. They're attractive
and stupid
and well-dressed.
But don't you think that the other characters, like the new kids, they're the only thing that makes the reboot possible? Like, it just would have been...
If we were just stuck, because that's what makes it work, is the fact that this weird time warp of like these people who have not a care in the world, like presenting that like 80s like TV show sort of style, but basing it in reality and actually having like this clever way of doing it. It's like, of course, this is like real life for them. They're all rich, they're white, and everything's like handed to them on a platter. Like, so like there is a lot of cleverness in that, without the actual, like, you know, Daisy, I do like, what's his name, is it Devontae or something?
Devontae.
Like, he's actually a laugh. I love having, like, seeing him. Yeah, without these characters, there's nothing to actually, like, what Ground would you say show. It'd be like they're the straight man in a comedy act. Like, there needs to be someone, but they're just always pointing out the dumb stuff, and I'm like, yeah, that's what it's like, someone telling you why a joke, like what a joke is, and you're like, yeah, I was already laughing, you didn't need to tell me the joke.
Yeah, I think out of the three, like, because the show centers around like three kids from a poor school that have to come to the rich school, and the main character Daisy, she is a bit of a buzzkill, but I feel like Aisha and Devante, the other two characters, are a lot stronger than her and a lot more likable than her.
But it is fun that she also gets paired up with the worst of them, which is, what is it, Mac?
Is it Mac? Mac Morris.
Yeah, so they complement each other well.
How much, if your name is Zach and you have a child called Mac, like, that's child services, like.
While you're watching it, did you have any memories of the original Saved by the Bell? Did you get any of the callbacks or get who any of the older characters were?
Like, the faces are familiar, and I feel like only three of the people that was the thing. I don't think I actually grew up watching this and actually following along. Like, I feel like I caught like episodes at 3 a.m. when I was in my teens or something like that. So yeah, it's not a nostalgia thing for me. So I'm not sure if it is for you guys. Like, did you guys grow up watching it?
I definitely did, but I wasn't like, oh my God, I can't wait to like revisit this, because like it wasn't, it's not like Degrassi. It's not like when Degrassi Next Generation came out, which has Drake in it. Like, come on.
Has that, how many reboots has Degrassi have? Is it still going?
I think so.
Yeah. It's like endless reboots.
Okay.
For sure.
Kevin Smith had a cameo on Degrassi.
Kevin Smith, like, directed. Wrote and directed Degrassi.
Because he loves it. Let's talk about Degrassi.
No. But yeah, I definitely grew up watching the show, so I appreciated all the callbacks. I mean, I don't have like an encyclopedic knowledge of the show, but I definitely used to watch it growing up.
Yeah, so. But look, it's just like, I know he's passed away now, but it's nothing without Screech.
So, so Lucy, what do you think of, like, what were your overall thoughts on this show?
I was kind of like Brendan. Like, it wasn't perfect for me, but there was definitely some fun gags, and, like, I enjoyed it, and, you know, I watched it all not under duress. it was fun. Like, yeah. You know.
Like, Lexi has some good laughs, like, Mac has.
Yeah,
there's some good times to be had here. And like I said, like, if I call myself, like, I just want to sort of zone out, it might be something I'll continue to watch. But at this point, there's some banger shows coming around, so.
Yeah. But I feel like these kind of, like, half an hour, like, just easygoing shows, they aren't as common as they should be. So I do appreciate this.
Yeah, the 20-minute sitcom seems to be, like, fading away. Yeah.
Yeah, and the ones that are around aren't that great. So I think this is actually a step above a lot of the ones that are on the air at the moment.
Meanwhile,
are you digging at Girls 5 Ever?
Yeah, I would put this way above Girls 5 Ever. But
shots fired.
I'm gonna be famous forever.
Speaking of singing, can we talk about the theme song and how they ruined it?
Why does that
how did they make it worse? Like, it was already a banger.
It's someone famous that's done it, isn't it? Isn't it like Tiger or someone? I'm sure it's someone big.
You're talking to me, mate.
Tiger, whatever his name is.
Oh, also, can I also just say, like, has this ever been done well? It's like the Sex and the City movie. Like, why would you need to rewrite the theme and put Fergie in it?
Shopping for labels, shopping for love.
Is there, Sex and the City has lyrics?
It never did, but in the movie, the Fergie put lyrics.
Are those legit, the lyrics? What were they?
Shopping for labels, shopping for love.
It's it's just unreasonably bad.
The Saved by the Bell reboot was done by Little Yachty.
Oh, you know, Little Yachty.
He is big. He's a big rapper.
Well, whatever.
That way you had to Google.
Doesn't know a thing about, like, a white man with sunglasses and a 80s guitar, because that original song was way better.
Yeah, they should have just kept the original.
Let's talk theme songs. Like, is there, like, a
Degrassi
theme song that you're like, this is actually, like, an awesome, like, song, and I want to, like, listen to it all the time?
The Portlandia theme song?
The Buffy theme song.
That's Offspring, isn't it?
No, it's Nerf Herder.
It's like shredding. I feel like it's very outside of your usual listening repertoire.
Yeah, you're not cool. You know,
fuck you guys. Oh, sorry. Did you have a theme song you wanted to bring up, Brendan?
I want to give a shout out to the Miraculous Melops from It was like a kid show by the Australian TV network in like the 1990s. Like,
I remember watching it. I don't remember the theme song.
Oh, everyone, look it up.
Okay.
Do you want me to sing it?
No.
Okay.
I would be remiss to mention the big highlight of Saved by the Bell for me, which is the character of Jamie Spano, who, as you guys know,
someone who had their shirt off? Like,
I love a dumb, shirtless hot guy.
Yes.
And he is the dumbest. He is the most shirtless. And he is the hottest of any show in 2020. I can't even remember the last time there was such a hot, dumb guy. So just 10 out of 10. And the guy that played him he donated one of his kidneys to a stranger just to be nice.
Weirdo.
Take a day off. Yeah.
He's actually the best person on earth.
Take a day off. That's just...
all right. So, did you think this was better than Freaky?
No. I enjoyed... But Freaky was really good. So, I'm not being like... harsh here, so.
Well, I'm glad that you got some enjoyment out of it. That's all I wanted. So next up is Lucy, who was given the film Band-Aid by Brendan on our Bad Johnson episode. In Band-Aid, a couple who can't stop fighting embark on a last-ditch effort to save their marriage, turning their fights into songs and starting a band. So, why did you recommend this film to Lucy, Brendan?
Oh, why did I? I think, in general, my rule, when I'm looking at what to give to who, I try to give Lucy good ones because I know you'll watch them, and also that Lucy has very little time, and so I'm like, I hopefully...
Don't punish me with bullshit.
Yeah. Like, the little time she has. Hopefully it's like, oh, I got a rest and I enjoyed myself. So, yeah, we'll see if we got there.
So, Lucy, do you think this is a film you would have ever watched if it wasn't recommended to you?
Probably, definitely. I love Fred Armisen, which we're going to go into in depth shortly.
He's not a main character, by the way. Oh, he's a... Okay.
Yeah, but it's like if I had seen... Unfortunately, like, I hadn't heard of it. Like, it just wasn't on my radar. I don't know. Sometimes where is a person like me supposed to find these films? You know, if you can't get to the cinema all the time, like, where do I find these sorts of movies?
And it hasn't dropped on any, like, major streaming service in Australia as well, so...
Because I had to hire it on Google Play... which I was happy to do. But if I had seen this poster and gone, oh, this has got Fred Armisen in it, oh, and it's about a couple that writes twee songs about their fights, like, I definitely would have given that a watch if I had the avenue to find it. Do you know what I mean?
Cool. So having watched it now, did you enjoy it?
Everyone has to give their opinion on what they think I'm going to say first.
I think you really liked it.
I rewatched it just because I was like, oh, yeah, I haven't seen that in years, so... I like had a really good time with it, and I would be shocked if you like hated it. So I'm gonna back myself and say, yeah, I think you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really did. The only thing was, you know, like a lot of things about it were very triggering for me. not in the sense that I'm like in a like crumbling marriage, but just that guy, the boyfriend, like,
yeah.
I know I joke about this all the time. I'm like, I think Brendan kind of thinks, you know, like when people are like, oh, my ex is crazy. It's sort of like, maybe you're the problem. But it's like this, I have dated this guy. Like, oh, my God, help me. I've dated this guy.
Often that
gets my like back up and I just hate things on principle and I just want to like attack that person. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was great. And also, sometimes I have a problem with, I think there's so many movies and so much like pop culture is about sort of like, it's either about the start or the end of love. And, you know, like, where are the movies that have
maintaining
young and young families and it's not all like dreary and horrible, like where are those sort of success stories? So I do get upset when it's just like, you know, like stressed out moms and, you know, like, you know what I'm saying.
Locus paro cambio.
Exactly. Or like, you know, this is 40 or something like that. It's sort of like, yeah. Why does it always have to be that story over and over?
Yeah.
Like it makes you think that, you know, like that's what's waiting for you.
Well, if do we head into spoiler territory in this?
Yeah,
I think
for
so.
Sure. But so I actually think that guy was endearing in the end. Like he was a nightmare. No, he just is exact. Like I've dated that person, but it's like those kinds of people get me in all sorts of trouble. Yeah, but I really liked it. I've got so many things to say. I don't know where to start.
Well, we'll go spoilers from here on out. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
We're all saying recommend it? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Well, I also watched it, so you don't know if I liked it.
What did you think? Too indie for you?
Overall, I would give it like it's a good movie, but I think what holds it back for me is I found it to be a bit too meandering and like improvised. I would have loved to see a fully scripted version of this film, because sometimes I feel like there were certain scenes that kind of felt like they had no point to them, and certain conversations or dialogue exchanges that just felt a bit aimless. But overall, I love these actors, and I thought the movie was entertaining overall, but I would have loved a more focused version of it.
Yeah, that's weird. Like, I'm trying to think of the scenes that you, like, do you have an example? Just because I feel
I know Lucy's probably going to be really upset at this, but I thought the weakest parts of the film was anything with Fred Armisen. I thought his character felt like it was from a different film. I didn't find the whole, like, he's a recovering sex addict and there's these two sexy women that live in his house with him. I just didn't find that to fit in, and I didn't find it funny, and I felt those scenes just went on and on.
Oh, really? Like, I found all that stuff really, like, that interaction when they first meet, and there's just like those like long pauses when he's like, I'm a drummer, and it's like,
yeah,
you're just feeling that empty space. And
yeah, that was fine when it was him interacting with the couple by themselves, but every time it involved
that
the
other
two
thing,
sexy girls,
that other like, thing I didn't need that either. But my thing about Fred is, like, Fred is a world-class drummer. Fred Armisen is my dream man. Oh. He's really funny. He's really funny, and he's really weird, and he's like rock and roll, but like he doesn't like brag about it in the way he dresses or it like he's kind of just like pretty straight-laced, but actually like he's so smart and funny and talented, and but he's just like, well, I'm not going to wear a leather jacket and like have a shitty tattoo. He's just like, just got my khakis on and, like, you know, it's like, yeah, I think he's a genius. So I loved knowing, that, like I said, those scenes weren't my favorite either. And, like, often he does play the weird kind of dialed in, stupid, weird character. He does it a lot.
Yeah.
But also I just loved seeing him, like, play kind of crappy drums for this band and then just, like, ripping a huge solo. And he's like, yeah. He's like, that I'm really good, actually. I just loved that.
But is that the only thing? Because I don't know. I feel like a lot of the jokes land for me, like, and also I feel like a lot of the like arguments and all that just felt very
completely. Yeah,
natural.
This is just like, you know, it's good to see my like number three crush out there in a cool film, but you know, like he's not part of the core story, I guess. I loved, and I, you know, like I did a bit of research, like just a small amount. I'm like, who wrote the music for this and who made this? Like, this is, yeah, and it was the girl, right?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know
love
that,
that
the first
for
time
her.
I watched
and
it.
I'm gonna say the most controversial thing that's ever come out of my mouth to Paul. The music in this was so good. Like, is it just an album that you can listen to? It was better than all the music in A Star Is Born. I would like fast forward the songs in A Star Is Born, and this I was like, I find the songs, those sorts of songs in movies are never good. They're never good, in my opinion.
I know what you mean. Like, yeah, I vibes with that style, particularly that one at the end, like with the drum solo and stuff.
Yeah, I was so here for it. And also, like, I love to sing and, like, grew up doing musical things, but was never really in a band. And that was always my dream. And I just loved the scenes of them sort of mucking around and, like, finding little chord progressions together and them just really enjoying. Like, that was always something that I wish I had in my life. So I loved seeing that dynamic on screen. I loved it.
Yeah, and those scenes really made you root for them as a couple.
Yeah, and I feel like the film did strike a really good balance of, there were some real adult things in the movie. It wasn't all just like, let's write twee songs about our fights, about the dishes. Like, there was some, you know, real adult things that watching it, you know, it was interesting to see and like painful, and it wasn't just all like surface bullshit. There was some real issues in there.
The progression of the film, I felt like the rate in which their relationship is sort of healing and how it's being worked on. They're all like very tiny little battles and very tiny little like steps forward, and it just feels a lot more real. And I don't know, I just really enjoyed how it came together. And even that little monologue at the end, when you're talking about, like, his mother's talking about the difference between men and women, found a lot of takes on, like, males and their video games and all this sort of stuff very relatable. And so what was her name? Zoe Lister?
Yeah.
Round of applause for the writing and stuff on this.
Yeah.
I remember talking a lot about what was it called, Thunder Road, and how he like wrote and directed and starred in it and how crazy that was. Mm. But like this, she like wrote, directed, produced.
She wrote all the music.
Starred in it. Like,
yeah.
And apparently she usually writes and directs with her partner. And this is the first time she just went out and did one by herself.
A lot of people
like regard this as way stronger than the stuff that she was doing with her partner. So
holding him back.
Yeah.
There were lots of cool little cameos as well. Like, it looks like a lot of people probably were friends of hers who were like, oh, I'll definitely just do a tiny, you know, like the mum, the Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
He's not fucking fat enough already, Jeffrey. Like that woman.
There was heaps of people from New Girl.
Yeah, so I feel like all of those people were just like, oh, because
I think she was on New Girl for a while as well.
Yes,
Was that Colin Hanks?
Yes.
Yes.
I totally didn't realize that when
and
I recommended it.
Because they also started a TV show together, her and him.
Yeah, so I feel like, you know, she would have been like, oh, I'm doing this thing. And, like, it looks like any friend that she had was like, oh, I'll definitely do this for you. Like, this is a cool project. I'll like, lend my five minutes or whatever.
There was one unfortunate cameo, which was Chris D'Elia.
Cancelled.
Yeah, so I don't know if you heard about the new Zack Snyder film where they digitally removed him and replaced him with Tig Notaro for the entire film.
Yes, yeah.
Wait, is that the zombie one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's so much work.
So they should put her in this film as well.
Isn't that guy, is he from You?
Yeah, and he played like a sex pest rapist in that.
Come
and then
on,
turned
man.
Out to
how
be the same thing.
Much. Like, how could he have not been sitting there? Like, the level of narcissism.
Hiding in plain sight.
For him to just be sitting there just being like, well, this is me and I'm living in the climate of, you know, I could be fined out and this could ruin my whole life. And to still be that person is like, you're a dog, man. Mm. Anyway, let's just put him in the bin. He's Justin Bieber's favorite comedian, so says it all. I know we don't do these, but I want to do a tenuous of a tenuous. Fred Armisen's stand-up show on Netflix. It's called Stand Up for Drummers. So it's sort of like all geared towards I actually think the whole audience is drummers. Like, he made that on purpose.
Made them all come out.
he did that on purpose. But you don't have to be a drummer to enjoy it. It's like lots of music jokes, but other stuff. And he does this amazing thing where he has a map of America and he does all the accents in, like, you know, 5 milliseconds. He's changing. Like, he's going all over America doing all the accents. He's so great. Like, he did, like, funny shit like that on SNL. And, it's really good. Have either of you watched it?
No.
Please watch it, Brendan.
I might.
Oh, please.
I'm gonna do a Fred Armisen tenuous and say everyone should watch Euro Trip, where he plays the Miscusi guy.
Wait, how's to watch Fred, the whole Fred, of Euro Trip?
Fred Armisen played
Euro Trip
Obama.
Is a classic.
Fred Armisen played Obama on SNL. Like, what nationality is he?
I don't know. Well, he's Italian in Euro Trip, so we'll go for that.
Well, if we're all doing tenuous on this,
it has to be on Fred Armisen though.
Oh, mine was on Adam Fowley, but it was just for you, Paul, as well. Have you seen the show that he's in with the guy from Detroiters?
What's it called?
I can't remember.
Well, this is a shit tenuous.
Moving on.
Pretty on brand, though.
All right. So, Lucy, did you enjoy Band-Aid more than Bad Johnson?
Yes, 1,000 times yes.
Thank God.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finally, we have myself. I was given the film Singles by Lucy, who recommended it on our Heart and Souls episode. In Singles, a group of 20-something friends search for love and success in a grunge-era Seattle. So, Lucy, why did you recommend this to me?
There's very few movies that I recommend that you haven't seen.
Yeah.
I recommended Bed of Roses a while ago, which is kind of like, you know, 90s, like same mm-hmm. sort of universe maybe, and you hated it so much, and I just really wanted to see what you thought of this one. And I never do this, like, because I don't have enough time to be organized or whatever. So I've watched all the things we've talked about today. So I rewatched this and I just love it. And I actually just would love an opportunity to talk about it, even if you hate it.
Bed of Roses was our very first tenuous.
Yeah.
So that's where we started.
Yeah,
you hating me forever. I would have definitely watched this film without your recommendation. I've actually gone to watch this a few times and then I was like, it's something that Lucy might recommend to me on the show. Mm. So I'll just hold off until she does.
Mm.
So I watched it today and I really enjoyed this
movie. Yay!
What's with this? We all liked each other's things today.
What's going on? Yeah, this is boring.
I really enjoyed it. You know, I know a lot of like millennials and Gen Zers are obsessed with Friends for some reason. I think this is the thing that they should be watching instead. This is kind of like Friends with substance. It's that kind of thing, 90s group of friends, romantic entanglements.
Great soundtrack.
But yeah, the soundtrack is great.
Mm.
The cast is amazing, like so many big hitters here, and I just thought it had a lot of like what it had to say about relationships and being single and dating felt very relatable and truthful, and I really loved these characters. I have a bit of a what happens to one of the characters at the end I didn't agree with at all, but other than that I don't think I really had any problems with this film.
Which one?
So, okay, spoilers for Singles. I know Brendan hasn't watched it, but he forgets everything anyway.
Yeah.
So Matt Dillon's character, I think the film wants you to think that he's had like some sort of arc and that he becomes a better person at the end and that it's okay that he gets back with Bridget Fonda. Whereas I kind of wanted her to just like never speak to him
and date Bill Pullman,
who was like amazing, like successful plastic surgeon who was like head over heels with her,
who had like this beautiful tussle of hair, like my god, yeah. Bill Pullman in that movie.
Yeah, and like, you know, he gives her that fantastic speech where she, you know, she's going to go get a breast augmentation and he quite talks her out of it because he's like, you're perfect how you are.
And you shouldn't do this for a boy who's obviously like a fucking loser.
Yeah.
Also dated that guy.
But yeah, Keira Sedgwick and Campbell Scott as like the other couple, like just so much chemistry. I just wanted them together so bad.
I know. I have seen this movie so many times. I was watching it and like, basically doing the whole thing to Adrian. You know, he's in that phone box and he's going, "You belong." He's like screaming down the phone with me. And everybody thinks it's a toilet and they're banging on the door outside. He's like, "It's not a bathroom." Yeah, I love it.
So you watch it with Adrian?
He missed the start because he was doing some work, but he finished it. Yeah.
And what was his overall thoughts?
Yeah, he thought it was good. And he was like, every time I watch a movie with you for this fucking podcast, it's awful. And so it was good.
Yeah, because it's one of your recommendations.
Yeah. It's totally, we would have watched it, you know, at some stage anyway. And I just have to say, you know, the two friends, is it Keira or Kyra Sedgwick?
Keira.
Sedgwick and her bestie says, "If you get married, will we still go out dancing?" And then it just cuts to them at a club. And I love that this is like the 90s version of like, you know, going to the club. It's like they're going to see Pearl Jam. And she goes like, you know, screaming over the music, "We will always go out dancing." And it's State of Love and Trust playing by Pearl Jam. That is my religion. My sister and I, that's like a thing that we say to each other. And I love that song. And Paul, I don't know if you know this or if you looked it up, but like Pearl Jam are in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many amazing cameos.
Yeah, well, I did notice Tim Burton's in that.
He's only like the next Martin Scorsese. Yeah.
No, it just is like so of the moment, but definitely doesn't feel dated. Like it's such a, like you could see someone making a film about the 90s and it being this.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
I just had a really good time with it.
Yay, I'm so glad.
Does this kind of back and forth make you feel like you want to watch it, Brendan?
I'm like, oh, I feel like I missed out on something.
I was truly going to message you, Brendan, going like, I know you've got heaps of uni assignments, but I really think you would like this movie too. And I wish you could talk about it because I was so sure that Paul wasn't going to like it. And I was like, I just want someone to rap about this movie with me. Paul's watched it. Paul liked it. So it's all good.
Well, as you guys are talking, I'd like, put it in my like watch list on Letterboxd. So
I don't know if it's my favorite Cameron Crowe movie. Like I think Almost Famous would probably be still above this,
but it's
definitely like it's up there. It's really good. So would I put this above Heart and Souls?
Oh, tough.
That's hard. Like Heart, I'd have to say Heart and Souls is above this. Also R.I.P. Charles Grodin, who died this week. So you'll be in our hearts and souls.
We've been waiting all week for that one.
I think I'll have to put Heart and Souls above this, but I still would heartily recommend this film. All right. So that was a successful tenuous swap. I feel like next one has to be bad. To make up for it.
You got it, Paul, because I've got you next.
Oh, no. So what have you got in store for me?
Oh, well, I guess that makes my decision because I was like, I do actually want to give Paul something that I think he would really love and I would like to talk about. So
you can still do that. There's no problem with doing that.
No. You made it very clear, Paul.
No.
Nah, I'm joking. I'll do that anyway. Because literally looking through all my recommendations, they're all solid choices. I don't know how I could punish you. So I am giving you The Kid Detective.
Oh, awesome. I've been wanting to watch this. Yay. So yeah, that's the Adam Brody film from last year.
Yeah.
About like a Hardy boy who grows up and is trying to solve a murder. Yeah.
Yep.
I've heard really good things. So
where is that one available somewhere, or?
I think you have to rent it.
Which yeah. every one of these movies we do.
Well, we do, maybe not you.
Yeah, I was wanting to give it to Lucy, but I do feel like Paul deserves to be fair, morsels, you know. I think it was particularly because it's got Adam Brody, he'll be excited to watch it. So
All right, so Lucy, what are you giving to Brendan?
So I'm going to get Brendan to watch, My Octopus Teacher, because I feel like it's sort of in the same vein as Chasing Bubbles. It's sort of, so I think it could be something that Brendan could enjoy. And also like it won the Academy Award and it looks so great. And I feel like the main character, you know, Brendan loves his like, kind of coming of age, like finding yourself, sort of thing. This isn't coming of age, like the man is middle-aged.
The
octopus
finds himself.
Well, yeah. The guy that makes it is like a film guy who sort of is having this crisis of whatever. So he goes to the beach. And, you know, so he's like a film guy. You're a film guy, Brendan. And you love like soul searching and stuff. So, yeah, that's yours.
Well, I'm about to finish my documentary studies, so I'll give it the full academic analysis.
Paul, was it best documentary feature?
Yeah.
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 Yeah. So it won the Academy Award for that, Brendan.
All right.
So I've got Lucy, and I've been waiting for this for ages. She's finally going to get to watch Zombies 2.
Didn't you listen to what I just said about limited time, giving her something good?
Well, if you remember, Lucy did not give Zombies 1 a negative review. She was positive on it. And
listened to the episode where you recommend Zombies 2, and I'll say verbatim what Lucy said. Oh no, Paul's gonna make me watch it.
Well, Lucy,
you know the way it's super like candy cotton, like it's so saccharine and whatever. Maybe like I can put it on with my kid, like here. It can be on in the background.
Yeah, yeah.
Paul loves viewing. Like weird kid stuff for some reason, like the Powerpuff Girls.
I'm not alone, all right? But anyway, Zombies 2.
Yeah, you know how there's that whole like subsect of grown men who like My Little Pony? You know,
those guys who bronies? Dress up.
The bronies? Yeah.
As
you're like that, Paul.
Can you not fucking put me in the subcategory with bronies? I don't appreciate that.
Why in that documentary, like, why didn't they address the elephant in the room and be like, this is a weird sex thing for you guys, right? Like, just touch on why you get a hard-on for this. Just somebody address what's going on here.
So can we just, like, put it out there that I get no sexual pleasure from the Zombies franchise? I enjoy it
strictly
on an innocent level.
Dogs.
I know like you loved her wig in the first movie. This movie is essentially an origin story for that wig. So
is it made of werewolf hair?
You'll have to watch it to find
it
out.
Definitely is.
All right, so that should be a fun one. So next time, Zombies 2, My Octopus Teacher, and The Kid Detective. That's what you need to watch for your homework for our next tenuous swap. But until next time, you're a piece of shit. You don't review us on iTunes. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Lucy Thomas.
as your boy, Brendan, the big bahuna.
What?
I was trying to say kahuna, but with a B.
No. All right, bye.
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 The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of Too Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.